something and everything. My name is Ezra Hill. My co-host Casey and I are going to be discussing a wide variety of topics from the perspective of two Midwestern middle-aged minds. We're not experts, just everyday ordinary people like you. We hope you might find our podcast inadvertently interesting and informative. Hopefully it'll amount to more than a hill of beans. Casey, so how are the Crime Tales segments you've been doing?
So I've put out 3 episodes so far, but I actually deleted one of them.
Oh, you did? Why?
So as I'm like, you know, getting into these crime tales, you know, I'm actually having to like really look into the case and do my due diligence, right? And then tell it from like a perspective to a listener. And, you know, being new to this, I, you know, just saw something in this one. It's the Prom Night Murders, right? And I only got about maybe 14 minutes out of that episode. And then after I did my next 2 cases, I realized that there's so much more I could dig into on that case that I wanted to get rid of it and readdress it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So if you've listened to Prom Night Murders, I'm hoping to get something. There's something in the back of my mind that's telling me that there's more to this story that I want to get. Yeah.
So why do you think on the Crime Tale episodes, you get more downloads than when I'm on the show?
You know what I think? I don't think that's true, first of all. But secondly, I know people are like crime junkies.
What? Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
But I think that, you know,
I kind of am.
Yeah, I know you are. And you know what? I think me and you kind of talked about when we started doing this podcast, you know, it's about nothing and everything, that we really wanted to get creative with our content. You know, we can sit here and talk a lot and do those things, but I think we wanted to offer to our listeners things that appeal to them. And so we're trying, and when we're diving into our content and material, we're, you know, going at it, you know, with passion. So whether it is crime that somebody loves, or, you know, if it is about dating and relationships, or, you know, pop culture, whatever it is, that we, that there's a place here for everyone that listens.
Yeah. That was kind of the goal. I mean, and I think we've been doing a good job with that. I didn't want to get locked into one specific genre, because just like, you know, when you're with your friends or whatever, you just shoot the shit about whatever.
Right.
You know what I mean? You don't, anytime you're with your friends, you don't just talk about crime.
Right. Exactly.
What, you know, I mean, it's just, this podcast is just kind of like about life and different things that are interesting. And we kind of want it to be, we want our listeners to kind of be like our friends, you know, like,
yeah,
what, if we were all in a group, what would we be talking about?
Yeah.
You know? So that being said, what are we talking about today?
So I did just cover the Lauren McCluskey case. And so that was my last crime tale. And so if you guys have not heard that yet and you want to listen, and basically it's just me telling you the story from the way I, you know, learned it and what I know. So check that one out. But the reason I'm referencing that episode is because today we're going to talk about stalkers. And I think, you know, it's important to, especially after I covered that case, for people to be able to identify what that looks like and what to do if they're in that situation. When I go back to the Lauren McCluskey case, and really you need to listen to this story, it is so tragic in that she did all the right things. She reached out to all the right people and came out, you know, not, it did not turn out well for her. And so I thought, wow, there needs to be a lot more support out there and things need to be changed.
You're talking about like laws and things like that.
Well, just to what happens from the time a person makes a phone call.
Yeah.
So Lauren McCluskey made many attempts and so many phone calls for help, for protection, and was constantly redirected, not taken seriously. The information about the suspect that, you know, she was reporting on, their due diligence was not, you know, if they would have actually looked into this guy, there was so much there right at their fingertips. This whole thing could have been stopped.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen that before in many documentaries I've watched, because it's like, unfortunately, there's not really laws out there against being a creep.
Right.
But the reality is it takes some thorough follow-up and investigation from law enforcement to be able to recognize what's going on, you know. And when someone's asking for help, because here's the thing you run into. Sometimes someone will call in with a complaint or something and they just sort of disregard it as they're overreacting. Mm-hmm. You know, they're just trying to get this other person in trouble because it was a bad breakup or whatever.
Right.
But the reality is you can't, and it probably happens a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, and probably the majority of the time, maybe that's what it is. Mm-hmm. But you can't.
You know, you said something about, you know, there's no law against being a creep, right?
Yeah.
So
do you know how I know that?
How? Do you have a stalker?
I'm not in jail. Can I wash your hair?
Leave it to you to crack a joke. No, you cannot wash her hair. No, but yeah. the law regarding stalking, that varies by county and jurisdiction. In general, stalking is considered a criminal offense. Stalking laws typically define stalking as a pattern of behavior that causes fear or distress to another person. So if you are creating fear, distress, you know, to somebody, that goes under, you know, the stalking.
Yeah. Which I agree with that. And it is. But part of the issue with laws is you have to catch them doing it.
Yeah.
Or you have to be able to prove it, you know. And sometimes stalking can be going on, but if you can't catch them doing it, it's hard to prove, you know. And that's a big issue that you run into.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, stalking is often classified as just a misdemeanor felony. Mm-hmm. So like depending on the severity of it, you know, it's a misdemeanor.
Yeah.
So which means, you know, it's kind of like a little slap on the wrist when they're doing it, yeah. You know?
Yeah. I definitely think the penalties should be a lot more strict. Because obviously we've seen time and time again where, oh, it's like they almost have this attitude of it's just harmless stalking. Mm-hmm. But is it harmless? You know, the reality is later on down the road, it could lead to someone ending up being dead. Mm-hmm. And that's what you have to prevent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're going to kind of like, you know, I think it's important, you know, after I just did that case, you know, and when you do these crime tales, you just get passionate, right? I was so pissed off and like, just, it set a fire under me. But you know, it's important, like if you feel unsafe or uncomfortable, that you don't dismiss those feelings and you trust your instincts.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just kind of want to like talk to people about the signs, you know, about if you are being stalked and things that we ignore and things like that and things that really should be happening. So like I said, you need to trust your instincts. Like if you have an uncomfortable like feeling, don't be dismissive about it. If something seems off to you, don't dismiss it. Right. Don't think like that you're paranoid.
Absolutely.
Another thing, if you think that you're being stalked, you need to document every single thing that you can. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, you absolutely need to keep a record of any incident, include the dates, the times, the locations, detail the behavior that the person was doing.
Screenshots.
Screenshots. Yes.
Video.
Mm-hmm. save any communications that that person has done, any gifts that they send you, or any other evidence. Just like you said, screenshot. I mean, anything you can think of, document it. Mm-hmm.
So if you're a stalker out there, make sure you're sending good gifts, because that'll help get you in.
No, it won't.
Jewelry.
I'm just going to get your ass in jail. Like, I'm ready to take action. I just can't. Like, I've been so worked up since this last case. Anyways, another thing you need to do, you need to contact the police, right?
Yeah.
Immediately. Like, mm-hmm. Report the stalking to law enforcement. And again, provide them with all your documentation. So if this is happening and you're not documenting any of it, like Ezra said, you're going to go to them. They're not going to take you seriously. They're going to be passive about it. They'll be like, oh, this is, you know, just a broken up relationship, or this is somebody trying to get back at somebody. But if you can walk in there and you are doing your due diligence and, you know, collecting all the evidence, then they have something to work with. So make sure you're doing that. Another thing is you need to seek support. Like, you need to reach out to your friends and family. You need to let everybody around you know what's going on, so that way you have more protection.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, could you imagine, you have a daughter, right? That's in mm-hmm. college. Mm-hmm. Lauren McCluskey was a college student, same year, same age as your daughter, and did all of these things that I'm talking about right now.
Well, if that was the case and I didn't feel she was getting appropriate help from the authorities, well, I'm also, one thing fortunate about me is I have connections in high places, being involved in politics. I guess that's one of the perks. Uh-huh. But I would be moving into her apartment and walking her to and from class.
Yeah.
And making sure if I felt there was an issue and she wasn't getting the protection she needed. And she might not like that, but that's what I would do.
Ezra, this is so sad, but when her stalker abducted her, she was on speakerphone with her family, talking to her mom and dad. Ugh. I mean, could you imagine what those parents went through?
Yeah, that's terrible. Mm-hmm. That's absolutely terrible.
You also need to, if you feel like, you know, something's off with a person and they're, you know, just doing things that are not normal, that are making you feel uncomfortable, you have to take, you know, safety measures.
Yeah. So in that, what was the girl's name you were talking about?
Lauren McCluskey.
In that situation, was this an ex-boyfriend or who? Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
So she was in a relationship with the guy.
She was.
Broke it up, but he was like, hell no.
The reason she had broken it off was because he had lied about his age, which she found that out.
Oh.
He was already 10. So in the relationship, he was 10 years older, but actually it was more like 20.
Oh, no
then,
shit.
Right. No. Wow. Then she found a criminal record that was terrible.
Oh, yeah.
So she had gotten the relationship with him and he swept her off her feet. Like, she was head over heels. Mm-hmm. And then it turned, you know, where she started to see these signs that we're talking about, like the overpossessiveness and where are you and the phone calls, and started getting like that hint, something doesn't feel right. Mm-hmm. So when she got that feeling that I'm telling people to pay attention to, she didn't dismiss it. She looked into it and uncovered this stuff. Mm-hmm. And once she uncovered this stuff is then when she decided to break off the relationship.
So when, did she figure out how old he was when she like went and picked him up from his colonoscopy?
Yeah. She's like, now, why are you here? I thought that this starts at age 50 or 45.
So how did she figure out how old he was?
Listen, I don't know.
Oh, do you not want me to spoil it?
I think you need to listen to the crime tales.
Oh, okay.
Like when you're going to sleep. Night, night. It's a good night, night story. Make you scared. You know, but more than anything, it makes you mad. It makes you, it's the reason why we're sitting here today having this conversation. Yeah. And, you know, and Lauren is speaking beyond the grave by, you know, having people sit here and tell our story so we can help other people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So taking the safety measures, you know, make sure that you change your routine. So like if you do the same thing every single day, you need to switch that up because a stalker knows all your moves. So don't be, you know, redundant in your habits. Switch it up. If you go the same route every day in your car, change your routes, right? And then also securing your home, making sure that you have everything that you need to make sure you're protected within those walls. So, and again, this is not just if you know for sure that you're being stalked. You need to do this. I mean, everybody should do this regardless as far as protecting your home, but don't wait until something happens. If you feel like something's off, you need to be doing all of this just in case, right? Mm-hmm. You always think it's not going to happen to you.
Right.
Everyone does, but
right.
it happens. And we're talking about it right now. You know, you need to know, like, check into the legal options. Consider taking and, you know, doing a restraining order mm-hmm. against them, right? Or a protective order. Contact a legal professional and understand your options.
Yeah.
Again, like, don't be passive about this, right? It's not when they talk about stalkers don't, they don't start to stalk and then one day, you know, they change and they just stop stalking. Like they're obsessed with you. It's an obsession. So unless they've sought help, they're not going to stop.
Yeah. Well, and that's sort of an issue. If say, for example, someone is arrested for stalking, I don't think they should be allowed out on bail.
What do you think should happen?
They wait in there until their court date, because if you're stalking someone, mm-hmm. as soon as they get out on bail, they're going to go right back to it.
They do.
Yeah.
And we've heard, you know, and I will dive into more cases like this, but exactly what you said, they, you know, sometimes they've committed right when they, you know, were released, you know, and they had bail. But then sometimes they've served their time and then also they get out and they go straight back to that victim and they end up killing that person.
Mm-hmm.
I think, like, you know, once you have a stalker, it's something you have to be on your toes always.
Right.
You know, and watch to see when they do get out because they could come right back.
Yeah. And, people who stalk and commit, you know, sexual assault crimes and things like that, they need to go to a special place.
a stalking center?
Well, they need to, they need some serious therapy. And I don't, you know, it's like, because even if they're, you know, stalking is considered like a minor offense. And even if they go to jail, it's not going to be for very long. So probably when they're sitting in jail, all they're thinking about is I can't wait to get out to go stalk them again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and the reality is like, I don't know. A tough question to ask is, should those people be allowed out of jail?
Right. Yeah. To me, they're ticking time bombs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another thing is, you know, we do a lot of social media, right? So, you know, you have all these profiles online. So again, if you feel like somebody's being odd or making you feel uncomfortable, you need to also address your online safety, right? Because let's talk about Snapchat, right? If you don't have your location disabled on Snapchat, you can see each person, like every person's location.
Oh, really?
Really?
I didn't know that.
You know, the Nextdoor app, if that is not, if you have your address in there of what subdivision you're located in, you pop up your location on the map.
Oh.
There's so many. You really need to get into your social media and look into that on your privacy settings, and you need to block the stalker and report them on each of those platforms.
Yeah. Probably so. And probably maybe if you do have a stalker, maybe not even get on social media.
Mm.
Unfortunately, I mean, it's kind of unfair, but, you know, is it really worth losing your life so you can make a post?
Right.
On social media or whatever.
Amen. Another thing is when a person's going through this stuff and they are, you know, what a person goes through when they are being stalked is so traumatic and it's so stressful that you have to make sure when you're going through this, you know, that you are taking care of yourself, you know, and doing self-care, because you may need to see a professional. I mean, it is so traumatizing to a person. If you're not being proactive and doing something about this and getting help, and this person is stalking you, you are being enslaved to them. You are a victim to them 24/7 because they are controlling your life. You will end up obsessing over your own stalker because you're so scared. You can't even like function. Like you're not moving the way you should through life.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Absolutely. So you need to make sure you're taking care of yourself and getting the help, the mental help. There's, you know, signs that they talk about, you know, that, for stalkers, and, you know, me and you have talked about these before, passively just in our conversations, but, you know, a sign that you have a stalker, and we're going to go through a list of these, is if you have unwanted contact, like you're receiving phone calls, emails, texts, or messages on social media platforms, even after you ask them to stop.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So unwanted contact.
I see a lot of girls post about that stuff on Facebook where people that come into their DMs, you know, and they start, you know, and they don't even respond, but the person keeps sending message after message after message. And it's like, dude,
yeah,
get a clue, man. Mm-hmm. She's not interested.
Yeah. If you feel like you're being followed, right? So we know that one is,
if you feel paranoid and you feel like you're being followed, that can mean one of two things. Either you're being stalked or you smoked some really good weed.
So that would be the paranoid part. Okay. But you can be like followed in person or online. So let's make sure we, you know, address that. This does not just need, you know, on your street. Like if you feel like every post that you make, this person is commenting on, no matter where the location is, like they're always tracking you and commenting on anything that you do, you know, you might want to put your antennas up, especially if it's coming off like a creepy vibe. Right. Mm-hmm. And if they're not doing it to everyone else and they're only doing it to you, kind of a, you know, red flag there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So where was I? Oh yeah. We've talked about this one before. If you're getting like unwanted gifts or letters.
Flowers.
Yeah.
Showing up at work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, if that's making you uncomfortable, like if you're getting a love letter from a person that you aren't even, you know, in a relationship with and they keep coming, red flag, right?
Yeah.
And they're professing their love for you or, you know, wanting to meet you or, and they just keep sending them. No go. It's somebody who's always monitoring your activity. Like that's not a good sign either. If they always want to know about what your schedule is, you know, and if you haven't shared it publicly and they're diving into that stuff, kind of a red flag there. Threats of intimidation. Threats of intimidation. Being threatened, intimidated, or feeling afraid because someone's actions or words. So like if they say it in a way that makes you feel a certain type of way. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Another sign is manipulations. They try to manipulate to control you, mm-hmm. your relationships and your environment. They're becoming obsessed with you. These are signs of starting to form a control behavior over an obsession.
Mm-hmm.
You're the object, right?
Yeah.
Let's see here. False rumors or accusations, spreading false rumors or making false accusations against you. This happened to Lauren McCluskey. So listen to this. When she broke up with her boyfriend, he, you know, did not want to let that relationship go. So what he did was he sent her. So, you know, they had a sexual moment where he had a picture of it. Okay. Mm-hmm. And, or it may have just been of her, but he sent her a text message and said, I'm going to post this online if you don't give me $1,000.
Oh, only $1,000.
Only $1,000. And this was a girl who was on a full ride scholarship for the university who, you know, had been working her butt off. She was so scared. He was doing anything. He was so angry that she broke up with him that he just wanted to make her life miserable. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're not going to be with me, then I'm going to hurt you in every way possible.
I had that experience once.
Are you serious?
But also, yeah. I won't get into too much detail about it. But there's also a lot of that going on where these online, where these people make fake profile where they're coming across as this attractive person and they start flirting with the person in their inbox or their direct messages, sending photos, this and that. Well, once it gets flirty and sexual and they start sending, you know, it mostly happens to women where they send photos to back to the guy. Then the guy turns around and says, hey, if you don't give me this amount of money, I'm going to send these photos to your parents and post it online and mm-hmm. this, that, and other.
That's the false rumors and accusations to gain control.
Yes. And I can't stand individuals that do that, that catfish people like that. It drives me insane.
Well, there's a name for that. That's online stalking. If you have somebody that's monitoring your online activities, such as checking your social media profiles frequently and creating fake profiles to interact with you, online stalking.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And if you find out, so say there is a fake profile out there and you discover, oh, it's Joe, mm-hmm. my friend. Why did he create a fake profile to talk to me? I mean, you know,
the best thing to do online is not interact with people you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
That would be my advice, I guess.
Yeah. You know, another is you'll notice like changes in their behavior. You'll notice like you'll feel changes in your behavior. You're going to start feeling like uncomfortable and scared, anxious. Even if they haven't like completely threatened you, your instincts in your body will alarm you. Like you'll feel it in your gut that something's off. So you need to pay attention to that. I just wanted to like tap in to this stuff. It is so, so very, it happens more than it's talked about. And it is happening to girls right now that are unaware that it is actually happening to them. And unfortunately, because they're not being proactive or they are dismissing it as maybe somebody who has a high crush on them or, you know, you're feeling a little flattered, but the person isn't going away. This can lead to something very dangerous. These are very dangerous signs in a person. When, you know, these alarm bells go off, you need to pay attention. Go listen to the Crime Tales, Lauren McCluskey. You know, I'm thankful for Lauren. You know, I hated having to tell that story. Anytime I do a Crime Tales, you know, it's heartbreaking. But at the end of the day, there's something positive that we can do with this information for the victims. And it is to speak for them and try to make sure it's not going to happen to somebody else. I want to tap in. So we've had a few of our listeners write into us. You know, and I've been asked to not disclose their names.
Oh, come on.
I know. Well, it is a stalker story. They heard that, you know, that was our, you know, we put on our Facebook group that, you know, our list coming up and the stalking one was on there. And so here is a story from one of our listeners.
Oh, okay.
And she kept it, you know, kind of brief, but, you know, she was really, you know, happy we were doing this episode because she understands it. She says, I had LASIK done several years ago, and I was met by a very handsome optician that assisted with the procedure. On the day of my surgery, I had my mom drive me to the center. The guy I had met on my first visit was there and actually asked my mom if she thought I would consider a date. She told me afterwards, and after being given 10 milligrams of Valium prior to the procedure, I said, sure. Had a couple of nice dates, then invited him to my apartment. I kid you not, this well-spoken, thoughtful guy had tiny Star Wars figurines hammered to the walls, and I bailed. He lived, so basically I think she's saying they had nothing in common, okay? And then she goes on to say, he lived north of where I live. A couple of weeks later, I began to notice his car sitting at the end of my court. It was just sitting there. So I finally called the director of surgery center, who I had also met, and asked him if he could talk with this guy. He did. Called me later to say they finally had to let him go because this had happened before.
Uh-oh.
And he had carried all sorts of cameras and binoculars in the front seat of his vehicles. He is now working in Florida. The whole scenario was as ridiculous as it sounds, but even scarier to know that he was watching me.
If you're being stalked, there's several organizations and resources out there. Of course, 911, your local law enforcement, National Domestic Violence Hotline, which is 1-800-799-SAFE. That's 1-800-799-7233. Legal aid organizations in your local area. And of course, you know, Google can get you all this stuff too.
You guys, you can check us out on Facebook. Our group is called Hill of Beans with Ezra and Casey. Come over, hit join, and have some fun with us. Also, if you want to shoot us an email us at hofbeans@gmail.com. Don't forget to click follow and subscribe to our podcast. Peace.
Test 1-2.
Testing 1-2.
Check it out. All right.